The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Navi Mendoza, and of course, Dewan Bennett. How are you doing today, Dewan?
I'm great because it's not as hot outside as it normally is, so I'm doing good.
That's the truth.
I know. It was wonderful this morning, and you know, the rain, and it's my dogs, so, oh gosh, they hate the thunderstorms, you know, but the weather is absolutely beautiful here today in Dallas. A little overcast, and what for us, like being in the 80s is like such
a dream.
Actually, 74. I lied to you.
Oh, you lied to me. I was going to say I didn't want to, you know, correct you, but I thought, well, I think it's a little cooler than that.
Yeah, it feels good.
I'm wanting to say when I'm wrong. I was wrong.
Yeah, and so I was thinking, you know, I don't know about you. You guys probably don't do this, but you know, women, I think when the weather changes, they want to break out, you know, like one of their favorite plaid skirts in the fall or something like that, right? Or one of their cozy sweaters.
That's me.
In a bottle of wine.
A sweater for sure.
A cozy sweater, yeah, but it's not quite sweater weather yet here in Dallas.
Not yet. No, yeah, we're probably ways away
from
that.
We're preparing.
But we are at, hey, you can go outside and walk around for a little bit weather right now.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice. But, you know, I would like to make an announcement, actually, that Navi Mendoza, who is now part of the One Life Radio team, is also the creator of a blog called The Spiritual Daily that brings people from all over the world together. And The Spiritual Daily, as I said, is a blog put together by holistic practitioners from all walks of life to help guide people on their spiritual journey. And you can find your daily dose of spirituality at thespiritualdaily.com. And Navi is going to share it with us daily here on the air at the opening of the show before it's out on the blog. Or I don't know, maybe it's already out on the blog, but we're going to share it with all of our terrestrial and podcast friends. So what is our spiritual daily today?
So today I just want to remind everyone to just be aware of what you're ingesting, mind, body, and soul. It's so important to remember and to be aware that everything that you watch on TV, everything that you ingest in your body, and the people that you surround yourself with have a huge impact on you and your persona and your quality of life. And so that's just what I want to remind everyone of today.
I love it. I love it.
Wow, great message.
Yeah, it is a great message. Would you like to elaborate as the shrink in the house today?
I think when you talk about the things that you ingest into your mind, your body, your eye gate, your ear gate, you always have to be careful because, again, monkey see, monkey do from the simplistic standpoint of things. The things that we are constantly exposed to, we tend to start to mimic those behaviors. So, And you want to make sure that the things that you're eating reflect how you want to feel. You want to eat some foods that are going to give you energy, make you feel good, not things that are going to cause you to be lazy and lounge around the house.
What a great segue, and we didn't even plan this. Speaking of, I read this in WDD TV. It's What Doctors Don't Tell You. It's a magazine, a publication that I really love, and it says raspberries for breakfast can prevent diabetes. Add some raspberries to your breakfast if you want to prevent or even reverse type 2 diabetes. Eating 125 grams of raspberries, that's a little less than a cup, every morning can reduce the chances of developing diabetes, even in people who are already at risk, such as those who are overweight or obese or already showing signs of insulin resistance. The berries can also lower blood sugar levels in diabetics after they've eaten a meal. And second research paper has established raspberries are rich in polyphenols, antioxidants, and also protect against cancers, heart disease, and general inflammation. And I have to say, I love raspberries. I don't know about anybody else. Anybody
raspberries else? Are my favorite fruit, for sure.
Yeah. I think probably me too.
Yeah.
My son does. He loves raspberries and blueberries, but he loves them.
Well, I love it. And so we watch what we put and watch what we ingest, both body, mind, and spirit. Here's another thing that I think is really kind of funny that I found in in Nature Magazine, which is a scientific magazine. It's highly respected worldwide. But they waltzing away from obesity. It talks about even people whose genes make them feel prone to obesity can help can keep the disease in check by jogging, walking, or climbing mountains, according to research on more than 18,000 residents of Taiwan. But swimming and cycling might not be so successful at mitigating that genetic risk. For years, researchers have stressed the importance of regular exercise to combat the genetic predisposition to obesity. And to find out which kind of exercise most effectively blunt the effects of obesity genes, Wan Yu Lin and Po Hsu Ku.
Good job. Oh, yeah. Hey.
And I'm sure I butchered that, but who knows, right? Nobody knows. Unless there's someone out there listening. From Taiwan listening or speaks Taiwanese. Anyway, at the National Taiwan University in Taipei and their colleagues recruited 18,424 Taiwanese adults whose genomes had been sequenced. The researchers asked participants about their exercise routines and calculated each person's genetic risk for five aspects of obesity, including body fat percentage and hip circumference. Interesting. I don't even know what my hips are. I haven't measured my hips in years. You know?
Is that the thing that people do? They go around and measure their hips?
I think I used to when I was younger. I used to measure my hips, but I haven't had a tape measure out in years. You know, my secret is looking in the mirror naked every single day.
Vulnerability.
I either like what I see or I don't. If I don't, I just get a little busier.
I like that. That's that vulnerability, right? Ability to look at yourself and say, "Hey, okay, I got a pimple right here. Am I fine with that?"
Well, you know, this article for me, waltzing away from obesity, because I love to dance. I dance every chance I get. And now I don't do the waltz, but it says here that jogging, which mitigated the genetic effects of three signs of obesity, was the most effective exercise. But relatively long sessions of yoga also helped to control obesity, as did fast walking and some forms of ballroom dancing, such as the foxtrot and the waltz.
Wow.
So I don't foxtrot or waltz, but I do dance, and I do feel like it keeps you in shape. It keeps your whole body in shape.
Yeah, I love dancing. I used to dance a lot when I was younger.
Why do people say that? Why do they say, "I used to dance a lot when I was younger"?
I think when you're younger, there's probably more opportunities. You're going
yeah.
to more birthday parties, things of that nature. And then even in college, you're going to more parties, clubs, things of that. But as you get older, that's something that, you know, it's few and far in between. So maybe it's younger. Maybe it's not younger as a kid, but maybe my younger adult life.
Yeah. Well, we all have to get out there and move more. And
we have to.
It's a shame that the people don't dance more as they get older, because it's actually the perfect exercise.
But remember,
I love going dancing.
That's that fun thing that, you know, as adults, we get too responsible to do. We get too responsible to just have fun.
That sounds horrible.
You know, let loose. I mean, you have to. I mean, you have to plan it, you know.
You have to let loose and cut loose.
Be spontaneous, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we were talking about food and raspberries. Yesterday, I made some Bernie bars. I made pumpkin. The recipe is basically a half a cup of oatmeal to every egg, and then I add different things in and out, okay? You can use Miyoko's butter. You can use, which is a vegan alternative butter made from coconut oil. It's actually quite good. Or regular butter for your fat. And then you can put in almonds or apples or walnuts or blueberries or whatever. But I was reading this about walnuts, and I think that this is important because so many people suffer from high blood pressure. And high blood pressure, you can get high blood pressure from even being 10 or 15 pounds overweight, if you didn't know that. And eating really good fresh vegetables, fruits and vegetables, will help with blood pressure, but so will walnuts. That walnuts lower high blood pressure. It says eat walnuts if you have high blood pressure or hypertension. They contain compounds that can lower blood pressure, reading and reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease. So I made my pumpkin walnut Bernie bars yesterday. They were so darn good, you guys. I'm not kidding you. They were so good.
Delicious.
I've noticed a habit with you. You brag about all this great food that you make, and you're not willing to share it with the community.
No, you missed it yesterday.
Every now and then you bring something in, but hey.
You missed
save
it.
Save some for me.
I know. You missed it last week too, didn't you? You didn't. I made
missed the blueberry ones and the pumpkin ones.
Because I've heard about these Bernie bars so many times, and I think I've only had them once.
Okay. So the next time you're in, I will plan my Bernie bars around your schedule.
Okay, all right.
What do you want? You want blueberry? I've made raspberry.
The apple one was
really
good.
Oh, my gosh.
Apple.
The apple cinnamon
walnut
was good.
We're on to something with apple.
Yeah. And then also, you know what?
That's my favorite food.
I haven't made the raspberry ones in a while, but what is the name of the bakery here in Dallas that makes those French raspberry puffs of loveliness? What is it? Oh, my gosh. La Boulangerie, is that the name of it?
Oh, La Boulangerie.
Boulangerie.
Yeah,
it sounds like lingerie, but it's Boulangerie.
Boulangerie.
And they put butter in it.
You got to be in the know to know that.
And raspberries, but I'm going to make you some raspberry ones. Is that your favorite? You said you, no, apple's
apple.
Your favorite?
I'm apple, but I'll take whichever ones. Look, beggars cannot be choosy, so I'll take whatever it is that you're offering.
I'll bring you apple. And the apple I grate, a fresh apple. Of course, everything's organic. Uh-huh. And then what else did I put in there? Of course, just I think I used pumpkin pie spice, which is very similar, like a mix of that with the cinnamon, because you get the nutmeg and all the other little, I forget all the what's in pumpkin pie spice. I used to know this. But I don't know.
Hey,
I have no clue.
You're making me hungry over here.
So I'll make you some. I promise. I promise. But we've got a fantastic show coming up with DeJuan Bennett. We're going to be talking about video games and violence. And I actually want to dip into next week's subject, which is about how to say no, because I think that's such a great topic. And I think we're going to have enough time. We have Dr. Nasha Winters coming up, too. We're going to be talking about the metabolic approach to cancer, prevention of chronic illness. You're not going to want to miss it. She is a rock star and so is DeJuan. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Van Morrison. I was listening to Van Morrison on the way in today, and I was listening to Brown Eyed Girl and Into the Mystic. So great. Thank you so much. Anthony Cernelia on the music today. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Navi Mendoza and DeJuan Bennett in studio with me. And I have one of our very special guests on the line, Dr. Nasha Winters. She is a naturopathic doctor and a fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology. She has been on a personal journey with cancer for the last 27 years. Her quest to save her own life has transformed into a mission to support others on a similar journey. Dr. Nasha works exclusively educating clients, doctors, and researchers worldwide on how to apply integrative oncology philosophically and therapeutically. She is the co-author of the book I am holding in my hand, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. I love this woman. Dr. Nasha Winters, welcome back to One Life Radio.
I love being here with you guys. Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure. It really is. And this is, as you know, cancer is a diagnosis that really can be very, very overwhelming and very scary for so many people. And it's something that we need to talk about. We need to talk about it a lot. And so your book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, Integrating Deep Nutrition, the Ketogenic Diet, and Non-Toxic Bio-Individualized Therapies is one of the best ones out there. So let's talk about this. Prevention of Chronic Illness. Can you share your story with our listeners and how it led you to your current work?
Absolutely. You know, I started off in this world with a lot of health issues, but it became my normal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little TMI for your listeners, but when the doctors told my mom that a toddler having a bowel movement once a month was normal,
because
it was just my pattern, should give you a pretty big clue that things were not right from the get-go.
Wow.
So it wasn't really a surprise when I started having major health issues around my menstruation, starting age 9, which back in the 70s, 80s was really not seen. Unfortunately, it's more so today.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I was 19, because I'd had so many health issues, a lot of my symptoms were ignored or just written off.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I ended up in the ER in tachycardia, cardiovascular distress as well as organ failure, and looked 9 months pregnant with malignant ascites, fluid buildup in my abdomen.
Whoa.
That's when they went, oops, you have terminal end-stage cancer. You're too sick to even employ a single round of chemotherapy. So therefore, we're recommending palliative, basically hospice at that time. And that was a bit of an eye-opener that has since, as of October 21st of this year, we're heading into that home stretch here pretty soon, will be 28 years since the official diagnosis got laid out for me, which was terminal ovarian cancer. And it had just been missed. It had been brewing for many, many, many years. And that's been my life mission, to understand why, and to help other people understand the process within their own bodies, and to help change the statistics, of which we're showing right now that 1 in 2 men and 1 in 2.4 women are expected to have this dreadful disease sometime in their lifetime in the United States.
Wow. And what an incredible journey you went through. But that's what makes you so passionate and so great.
Yeah.
It really does. You can hear the passion in your voice. So, you know, the title of your book is The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. Can you explain what you mean by metabolic approach?
Sure. You know, we were all built to be hybrid engines. And up until about 1850, we were all low carb. That was just normal. What we call today a fad or a trend was actually the way we ate until we started processing, you know, flour and sugar into our diets, right? And so with that happening, we all started to go from about 30% of our caloric intake to about 70 to 80% of our caloric intake as carbohydrates. So that has basically rusted our inner engines, and our bodies have gotten stuck in burning one type of fuel, which is sugar or carbohydrate, versus the dual hybrid engine we were meant to burn that included burning fat as needed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we talk about a metabolic approach, we're changing the energy utilization and also the energy resources for ourselves to basically keep our bodies thriving.
Wow. Well, you know, a diet, I believe in diet. I'm so meticulous typically about my diet, and I feel it's so important. But how important is diet in the prevention of chronic illness?
You know, it's funny. A lot of your conventional doctors might tell you not very, and simply because they don't have the training. I mean, less than 25% of medical schools are even offered an elective course in nutrition. So, you know, you don't want to go ask your doctor for nutrition advice.
That,
you don't want to come ask me for your, you know, car mechanic advice.
You know, that's so insane that they only 25%. That's insane. It's really insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I go back to, you know, my childhood food, my father's being Italian, you know, food was everything. He too was very meticulous, way ahead of his time, when it came to nutrition. We had our own garden, in the spring and summer, certainly not I was from back east, upstate New York. We didn't have a garden in the winter, but nonetheless, mm-hmm. you know, my dad, you know, was so passionate about even the tomatoes that he picked.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, today we have to go out of our way to look for quality, seasonal, real food, whole food without chemicals, right? We have to go out of our way to find those things, and then we're labeled as the crazy ones when that was the way we'd eaten forever. And so I just think it's really sad when you talk about how important is diet for prevention. I mean, prevention, frankly, is our only cure. And so it's key, and what you choose to put into your body, 2, 3, 4 meals a day, can make or break a terrain that can be preventing disease or creating disease.
Well, and you really have to know how to read your labels, because there's so much trickery involved. The whole labeling process with the FDA leaves a lot of gray area for almost abuse in the industry, if you will.
Totally.
But, you know, the ketogenic diet, it's become so popular now. It really has. How did you personally come across the ketogenic diet, and how did you use this therapeutic diet? How do you use it with your patients?
Sure. Well, at the time of my diagnosis, I was in a very poor liberal arts school that had a very outdated library. So I stumbled across some really old, outdated science books, chemistry books, and ran across the work of Otto Warburg, who in the 1920s was the guy basically screaming from the rooftops, you know, chronic disease, cancer in particular, is a disease of metabolic mitochondrial damage versus genetic. We kind of took the genetic route instead. That was the road we chose, thanks to the DNA helix, you know, Watson and Crick fame, who took us down that path, which has unfortunately not panned out what we'd hoped. But just to give you an example, in the 1920s is also when we started using a therapeutic diet that pushed our bodies into fat burning to produce these ketones for the treatment of epilepsy in children. I mean, just to show that this was a therapy of choice until the 40s, until pharmaceutical drugs came on the market, we were employing this very therapeutic diet for our children, for our most vulnerable population. That should show you a little bit of the sign of its safety and efficacy. Fast forward, though, again, as I said, the industry really changed things and really pushed us into the low-fat world and high-sugar world, that it's sort of just taking quite a time to make this make a comeback. So it seems like it's a trend or a fad, but it really isn't. It's been utilized therapeutically in various disease states for thousands of years, actually. I mean, we would get into ketosis even with fasting, and fasting has been part of a lot of the traditional ancient medical system since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many people out there are so interested in this. So this is a question I really want to get to is, what are your top foods for preventing chronic illness?
I love that. You know, I want to really drive home real food, seasonal food, local food, know your farmer, know your rancher, make sure it's clean, not made in a factory, not grown in those giant overgrown factory farmed animal environments. Those are very toxic, just four-legged superfunds or two-legged superfunds. And so I also really want people to get excited about herbs and spices. And so, you know, go beyond the salt and pepper, you know, bring in the chilies, bring in the bioflavonoids from your turmerics and your cumins and your corianders, and really add a little bit of flavor to all of your food is one of the most powerful, concentrated, nutrient-dense ways. And then herbal teas like hibiscus and chamomile are incredibly anti-cancer. A lot of us get hung up on green tea. We know a lot about that, but there are a lot of toxicities with lead. And there's also a lot of people with certain epigenetic hiccups that actually have green tea backfire on them. So I kind of shoot for using things like chamomile, which is also very nerve and calming, as well as hibiscus, which is very cooling in these hot summer months that also have some strong anti-cancer properties.
And adaptogens, there's a lot of and some of what you named are adaptogens, like turmeric, right?
Yep, absolutely. And that's where you can look at things like ashwagandha, astragalus, where you can look at things like rhodiola, tulsi. You know, a lot of these are superfoods that are really balancing to our chaotic systems. We're living on a planet where you cannot avoid stress, but you can certainly help your body respond to it better.
Well, and some things you can even grow indoors, you know, like oregano or moringa and things like that, that are incredible spices that add so much power to your food, if you will.
Absolutely. And there's something really powerful about growing something yourself. You know, you have a little bit more pride and attachment to it. And
I think
that relationship is very powerful to the healing as well.
I grew a watermelon a couple of summers ago. I cheated. I got a plant that was an organic watermelon plant. And then the little, you know, when the watermelon bud started, I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. And
it's
I remember
like a little baby.
And my dear friend, Ernesta Carlo, who passed away from cancer about 2 years ago, she was literally on her deathbed. And I showed her pictures of my watermelon. And she knows my personality so well. She said, Bernie, whatever you do, don't touch it too much. Don't touch the watermelon too much, which of course I did. And it never got real big, but we did. It was like, it ended up being like the size of a watermelon for maybe a Barbie doll. but the case in point is it was so wonderful to grow something and to watch it grow. I got like this crazy joy from it. I really did. Let me ask you this, Dr. Winters. What about exercise? How much exercise do you recommend to your patients?
Such a good question, because our culture is such that we're either weekend warriors or we're hardcore, you know, unbelievable athletes where we're like, I'm out there doing endurance athlete activities. Both of those are really hard on the physiology, create a lot of oxidative stress, just as much as sitting on the couch doing absolutely nothing. But we always sort of kudos to the people really over-exercising. So I want people to find that normal balance. What would we have done in nature? Chop wood, carry water, walk for an average of 4 miles a day. You know, be in that zone of walking, hiking, being in nature, stretching, using our bodies in playful modes and ways of life, working on your environment. So I really encourage my patients, if they're going to do a focused exercise routine, no more than 20 to 30 minutes of something like a high intensity interval training, 2 to 3 times a week. Otherwise, I want them out playing, walking, pushing their, you know, their kids in strollers and taking their dogs for hikes up in the mountains. There's so much other benefit of working out in that way versus killing yourself inside of a gym under all that fake light.
Yeah.
You know, get outside.
You know, there's so many questions I want to ask you. You're going to have to come back sooner rather than later.
Always.
But I guess one before we go to break, you know, if you were to choose one thing to do for your health to lower your risk of cancer, what would it be?
You know, I think I've already alluded to it, nature. We're all suffering from nature deficit disorder. The average American spends 15 minutes outdoors or less a day. Get outside. That is where you get your vitamin D3. You reset your circadian rhythm. You create a place of mindfulness, of stress management, as well as boosting your natural killer cells, especially if you can get near some resinous forest environments or simply lay on the earth or on the beach and walk along and gather those negative ions, which really recharges your own internal batteries.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. I just love having you on the show. Like I said, you're going to have to come back sooner because I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you.
Looking forward.
And I know our listeners want to hear it too. So I know that we can find you at drnasha.com. That's drnasha.com, drnasha.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Winters. It's been our pleasure.
As it was for me. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right, everyone. We've got a great show continuing on with DeJuan Bennett, Video Games and Violence. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Aviana Berrientos, Navi Mendoza, and DeJuan Bennett. Before we get to our content today, I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. Our newsletter this week has got some really great, or next week, it's got some really great stuff in it. It always does, but I think we're redoing the Bernie Bar recipe,
yeah,
aren't we, in this next one?
Yep.
So if you hear me talk about these Bernie Bars, they're not that hard to make, but check it out at oneliferadio.com. And sign up for the newsletter, subscribe to it, or, you know, you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And of course, a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies that bring this programming to you. Great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. It is a premier all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. And of course, Enviromedica, they are one of our new sponsors. I am holding their Terra Flora supplement in my hand. It's a broad spectrum symbiotic, which means working with nature, advanced gut microbiome support. It's shelf stable, multi-strain, and spore based. This is one of the best probiotics on the market. I was trying to think of what Sean Wells said. Aviana, what was the name of the gut master?
Oh, the gut goddess.
The gut goddess.
Okay, yeah.
The gut goddess. This is one of her personal, she supports Enviromedica as well. So check them out at Enviromedica. I'm going to have to write that down, the gut goddess.
Gut goddess, huh?
What did I call her?
Gut master. Probably that too.
She's the gut master blaster. Anyway, but that's an inside Dallas private joke for those of you listening in California. Anyway, but another sponsor of ours is Crazy Water. I love this company. They've been with us for a very long time. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. And, of course, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and Thorne Research. Check out our our dispensary at oneliferadio.com/thorn. That's T-H-O-R-N-E for 20% off and free shipping. So there you go. My sponsor shout outs.
That was a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot more too. So I think I want to mix them up in between the commercials so it's not so long, but it's difficult because I really focus on the content. I really do. Yes. That is my love, is just really getting a good education out there. Mm-hmm. So many people, you know, that maybe don't know where to turn for a lot of this information that we put out there, you know, get good, solid advice. That's always great, right?
Most definitely, right? This is an educational show. So people come here to get informed.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure.
And entertained. I try to entertain as well because I have a great sense of humor. If you don't think so, just ask me. But
I hope people are laughing with me, not at me, right?
Right. That's right. No, I don't know. My mother and father both had a great sense of humor. They both did for various reasons. But I remember there being a lot of laughter in our home, which is always a good thing.
I think laughter is the soul to your heart, right? I think that the more we laugh, the better we feel. And so if you're a person who have a great personality, you like laughing, you go into comedy shows, just sitting around the house watching things laughing, I think that boils you well to be able to deal with depression, anxiety, and things like that.
Absolutely.
You know how to laugh.
Yeah. Laughter is there's a lot of famous expressions actually surrounding laughter, but laughter is a very critical piece of a well-functioning mind.
Yes, it is.
I would say that. And speaking of minds, DeJuan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. DeJuan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of DeJuan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. DeJuan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master one's self-awareness and emotional control. Follow him on Instagram or his Facebook at DeJuan Bennett Counseling or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Today we're talking about video games and violence. Okay, are violent video games a problem for our kids these days, DeJuan?
I think violent video games are a problem in general, not just for our children, but for adults. I think that if you want to say that anytime we're exposing someone to violence, that can make them a little more aggressive, then that's true. But are we going to say that violent video games are the reason that you're seeing some of the things that we're seeing in society with these shootings? Then I think that's an argument that, you know, there's different sides of the fence where obviously, you know, Bandura did a study. Albert Bandura is a scientist who did a study back in 1961 where it's called the Bobo doll experiment, where kids, Bobo doll experiment.
Okay.
Right. And so it was looking at observational learning or social learning theory, where essentially if children watch parents become aggressive, then what happens, they'll repeat those behaviors. So we know that once kids witness certain aggressive things, that they're more likely to repeat those behaviors immediately after watching it. But is it to say that over time those aggressive behaviors will stick with them? Research doesn't support that.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. So, you know, you talked about violence and what you surround yourself with. It brings me back to how we opened the show, Our Spiritual Daily by V. Navi Mendoza, which was, can you say it again for us?
Yeah, so it was just to be just mindful of what you're ingesting, mind, body, and soul. Because it's really important. It really impacts the way you think, your lifestyle, your quality of life, everything.
Yeah.
It affects you on every level.
So if you're ingesting a lot of violence, you will become violent, don't you think?
It depends, right? Because if we're saying that if I'm in a violent home in which I'm watching my mother and my father fight a lot, or I'm in a violent community, then in those situations I may become violent because I feel like I need to be violent in order to survive. So now we're talking about survival, opposed to me watching violent movies or playing violent video games. A lot of times there's a separation where kids can understand that, hey, this is a video game. A lot of times with video games, kids are viewing those as simply outlets. That's an outlet for me to take out my frustration. Nowadays, when kids are not outside playing football and baseball like they used to, they're going inside. So now what happens, they're getting on the game and they're yelling and screaming at the game. So now they can go to school and they can function. So for us to kind of look at it where any violence that we're exposed to can cause us, I think there are certain situations where we're more likely to be violent if we're exposed to certain things than others. And I think in-home and in environmental violence is definitely more of a predictor than video games.
Wow. Well, you know, that makes me think of one of my favorite books, Suffer the Children by Marilyn Wedge, which I think was renamed Pills Are Not for Preschoolers. This is a very old edition, but it says, when I'm doing therapy, I'm thinking of two levels of meaning all the time. If a child is angry and explosive, I immediately ask myself, who else in his family, she was speaking of this little boy, who else in his family might be angry and explosive, even though the other family member may express those feelings in a different fashion. And says, we saw this with Joey, whose outward anger reflected his father's inner rage about his job.
Wow. That's, and think about that. So you see a kid on the playground and he, whether he's cussing up a storm or he's doing inappropriate things, you're always wondering, hey, what is this kid witnessing at home? Right? What's going on? And sometimes, yeah, they're witnessing it at home, but there's other times where maybe they're picking up on those behaviors in other places. But I think even more importantly is you sit down and you ask that kid, hey, what's going on? Why do you think this is okay? The ability to want to correct a behavior. I think sometimes we're quick to go behind closed doors and say and start judging instead of asking the question like, hey, are you okay? Why do you think that's appropriate? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, let me talk with your parents about what's going on. Because, again, if there's a behavior that we notice with the child that's problematic, why not try to correct it?
Mm-hmm.
But let's try to correct it in an appropriate way.
Do you feel that there's a correlation between all the school shootings and all the violence that we have in our world now and video games? The increasing, so many kids have these in their hands, and adults, too. As you said, Case, you know, you talked about at the beginning when we first started talking about this, that adults, too, that should be aware of the violence that they're ingesting.
Okay, so is there a correlation? I believe, yes, there is a correlation, but a correlation doesn't necessarily mean that that's the cause.
Causation,
right?
Yeah.
So again, there's only 20% of kids who 20% of the kids who engage in these mass shootings play video games, right? So that's a very small number. And then mm-hmm. when we look at the Las Vegas shooting, that was a 63-year-old man. So a lot of times, if we're looking for something to blame, we will, mm-hmm. right? We will find something to blame. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at a person is more likely to commit violence due to substance abuse mm-hmm. than anything. And then here we go. When we're talking about school shootings, a lot of times, and this thing that kind of bothers me, we see in the media, there's a lot of discussion about, hey, that's mental health. So what that means is for the person who's out there suffering with anxiety and depression, they're now fearful to go and talk to a mental health professional because the fear is, hey, they're going to put me in that group. If I tell them I have mental health, they're going to think I am more likely to be a mass shooter. And I think the narrative is giving is creating the problem with the stigma instead of helping.
Wow. The people that committed the crimes of these school shootings, weren't most of them on pharmaceuticals as well?
Well, I don't
know. Is there a high percentage or even, I'm thinking it might even be like every one of them.
It could have been, but is it prescription or is it more so when you have kids nowadays who are engaging in recreational drug use as far as like prescription drugs and things of that nature that are given to their parents or their grandparents, not necessarily them. So again, substance abuse does increase violence.
Yeah. Interesting. All interesting. We're going to talk more about this, video games and violence, with DeJuan Bennett. Stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
But you never give. Should've known you was trouble.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
What you say, boy? You trying to play court like a game boy?
We're all dancing in here, everybody. Even Anthony's in there moving it, shaking it. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We're having too much fun. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got DeJuan Bennett in studio with me and Aviana and Navi. DeJuan Bennett, if you're just now joining us, is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. He has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology, and he is the owner of DeJuan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. He's awesome. I'll just tell you that. If I was going to have a therapist, you're so down to earth. You really are, and you're a great listener, and you remember a lot of stuff too. But I guess that's part of your trade, right? You got
to
remember.
I try to listen.
But you can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or on Instagram or Facebook, DeJuan Bennett Counseling. And today we're talking about video games and violence. Okay, so where do we leave off? Let's talk about. Do you think there's a glorification of violence in our society? I feel like there is.
Most definitely. If you look at some of the movies that we love, they're the violent movies, right?
Yeah.
Some of the movies, I mean, you know, the Scarfaces, and even you want to get into like the Avatars and things like that. These global selling movies, there's violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the video games that we like, they're violent. And I think in a society, we for some reason, we want to manifest this inner violence outwardly through whether it's video games, whether it's movies, whether it's going like to the gun range or going out hunting. We are a violent culture.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, it's a quick sell. It's kind of like swearing, you know. You can make a movie, Mr. Tarantino, with all the violence you want and know that you're going to drive people into the movie theaters. What, you know, when you can really show how talented you are is make a movie without violence. That's what I say.
Right. If that's hard. Like one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump, right? Forrest Gump, Lion King, things of that nature. But again, those are movies. They don't have much violence, right? But how many of their top 10 selling movies that if you look on the list, you're going to see a lot of movies that have a lot of violence. So again, it's society being driven to be more violent. I think that we gravitate towards things like that. And maybe we gravitate toward things that we feel like we can't do. So we go to other areas in which we feel like we can.
Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's an easy sell. It's like with comedy when you throw in too many F-bombs or whatever, you know, typically it's because you're lacking in wit.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay. All right. So how should you talk about violence with your children without scaring them?
I think you have to have real conversations with your kids. I think nowadays they're going to get it from you or they're going to get it from YouTube, right? So you want to make sure that when you have talks with your kids about what's going on in society, maybe you show them kind of like the headlines and then you talk about it, right? So again, when they see it somewhere else, they're not as drawn to it because they're like, oh, that's a discussion that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to make sure that you're shaping your kids' minds so they can go out in society and be productive, not so they can just be productive in your home, because a lot of times if you're avoiding having difficult conversations with your kids about things that they're going to witness, or you're having a conversation with them that is very close-minded, more like an in-group conversation, I think that's not helping your kids go out in society and be successful. So you want to make sure you're sitting down with them and talk with them about critical subjects or headlines in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll get a feel that your kids are a lot smarter than what you think.
Yeah. Well, what should parents do if they're concerned that their children are picking up violent tendencies? And I always think about it with the animals, and because it's a known fact that if a child starts torturing animals or bugs, and just even bugs at an early age, it's, you know, it's kind of like a slippery slope.
To a sociopath.
Yeah. Yeah. That if you've got a little sociopath on your hands, right?
Right. Many, many sociopaths. I think that when you start noticing that your children are engaging in violent behaviors, then I think you want to figure out if this something that they're kind of manifesting, because maybe they're predisposition to be violent. Maybe your kid probably needs to go in a boxing or karate so they can get a hold of that violent behavior that they're naturally inclined to express, or maybe it's something that they're picking up on somewhere and you want to check for that. So I think when you have kids that are violent, you want to talk with them about compassion.
Mm-hmm.
First, compassion for themselves, right? Have an understanding for areas about themselves that they're not comfortable with. Okay, how do you have compassion for yourself? And then you teach them compassion for other people. So then you understand them, that let them know that once you become violent with people, you're hurting them. And sometimes kids don't understand that, because in a video game, you hurt somebody, they have 10, 12, 13 lives. But in real life, when you hurt somebody, that's real pain. And you want your kids to understand that.
Is there a level of disassociation when they're playing like a video game that they don't translate that into like other humans like themselves, other people around them?
I think so. I think if you allow your kids to stay in an imaginary world, then that's where they would live. So you have to make sure that you're having talks with your kids. I think parents should sit down and play the video games with their kids. But remember, video games have rating systems similar to movies.
Mm-hmm.
So there are age-appropriate video games for your kids. There are age-appropriate video games that have violence in it that are appropriate for your kids, but you should pay attention to those things.
Why do we even need violence in the world? You know, I'm a tree hugger. I'm fluffy. I don't believe in any of it. I really don't. I just don't see any need for it.
Unfortunately, hate, anger, and fear drive people.
Wow. Well, it's always great. DeJuan Bennett, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. You can find DeJuan at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing it. Today just blew by, but it does when you're having fun, right?
Yes, it does.
All right. But you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.